The global meltdown. What should we do about it? What can we do about it? You might have seen my three previous videos where I described how the global meltdown mechanism is working, the model, how the political objective is world government, and why I believe, and I think many of you will agree, Obama is not the answer, not because of Obama, but because of the people who surround Obama. That being said, I think the first thing we have to keep in mind is that what we are seeing today is a great battle of public versus private. And in that framework, we have to keep in mind that the world is run by power, by people who have force, the ability to do. It's not run by democracy, not run by human rights, not run by international law, truth, or justice, or the American way. Power is what drives our planet. In fact, brutal and ruthless power. And that power has been privatized. It's been privatized to, call it what you like, the international bankers, the multinational and transnational corporations, the media, the drug lords, the arms dealers, Masonic lodges, give it the name you like. Probably at the very top of the pyramid there is a high command, the all-seeing eye, very likely. But that's not the point that we're going to address today. The important thing to keep in mind is that they are imposing their own paradigms. They are against the public interest of most countries and most peoples in the world. They are against what the majority of people want in the United States and need, or in Argentina, or in Indonesia, or in Brazil, or Mexico, or Canada, or the UK. Because basically, their power is based on running what they themselves called many years back the war system. And now, in this new world order that we are being introduced into, the next stage is world government. And to reach world government, they're going to need to activate that war system. So, power runs the world, and money buys power. So, the formula is very, the equation is really very, very perverse, very terrible. Money runs the world. And I would say that in order to achieve this, and they've done it very successfully, is because they basically use force, power, and hypocrisy. In other words, they tell the peoples throughout the world, if we bomb you, we do it for your own good. So let's dwell a little bit on the money paradigm. What is money? Okay, money is anything that can be accepted and is perceived by everybody that can be used now to buy things, to buy and sell, and that will conserve some value to the future, because what you sell today, you're probably going to use that money to buy something tomorrow. So money has time. Actually, there's a time factor in money. It's got to be useful now, in the here and now, but it also has to be useful tomorrow, next week, next month, maybe next year. And then when we talk about money, we have to keep in mind that there are two kinds of money. You have public money and private money. Public money is the national currency, the dollars, the pesos, the euros, the pounds, the Swiss francs. The thing about public money is that it is issued in a monopolistic way by a government state entity, your central bank, the Federal Reserve Board, whatever, and that it generates no interest. Then you have private money, or plastic money, banking money. It generates huge amounts of interest, and on top of it, when it comes to the bankers, they can use the fractional lending system, generate money out of thin air, out of nothing, and on top of that, charge interest for it. Keep that in mind, because it is the main source of inflation. Why is this so important? Basically, just as there is public money and private money, there are two types of individuals. There are the hard-working people, you and me, and there are the speculative parasites. Okay, you might say that's a little bit black and white. Okay, yeah, you know, hard workers on one side, parasites on the other. Maybe there's not a very strict dividing line. There are elusive shades of gray, but let's face it, those are basically the two types of people we have today, nowadays in the world. And the basic rules that we should enforce or keep in mind in order to have social order and justice, whether it be in America or in Argentina, is really quite simple. Everybody must work. In other words, everybody has to contribute something to the common good. I would say everybody must work is probably the basic tenet of what I call creative capitalism, which is very different from extreme capitalism, which is your global financial collapse right now. Secondly, to each according to his capacity. In other words, Everybody should earn and have the possibility of making a good livelihood based on his capacity. You have geniuses and you have people who are just menial workers. Let's face it, we're not all the same. That goes against the basic tenet of Marxism, which tries to give everybody according to their need. No, everybody according to their capacity. And to the everybody must work rule, there are really just a few exceptions. Who are those who do not need to work and yet society has to keep them, maintain them? Those who are too young, those who are too old, those who are sick and disabled, and they are the ones that have to, on the basis of what I would call the tenet of social solidarity, we have to maintain them, we have to keep them. Simple, right? And now you would probably say, okay, let's ensure we have the proper laws, norms, decrees, police spying, more laws. And the problem is that no matter how many laws you make, the hard worker will continue working very hard, and he doesn't break any rules. But the shrewd parasite will always find a way around the laws, the norms, the decrees. And he, since he is loafing around all day long, he's got the whole day to see how he can design and invent something ever more sophisticated so that he can continue living off the rest of us. So it's not a question of laws and more laws. You know what it's a question of? One simple law, the nature of money. Because if you put order into the nature of money, if you put finance, which is the unreal world of money, derivatives, stocks, speculation, and so forth, and you subordinate finance to the real economy of work, production, creativity, toil, risk-taking, sacrifice to produce cars, to produce food, to produce TV sets, airplanes, houses, whatever. If you ensure that the real economy is always on top and is served by finance, by the money world, things will fall in place very quickly. What's happened to the whole planet? Well, finance is way above the real economy and it's choking it today. So let's get down to business. What is money? We often lose sight of the fact that money, aside from what we just said a few minutes ago, has a very important time factor. There are four basic functions of money. First, it has to be a medium of exchange, so which is the present characteristic of money. It avoids barter. I want to sell a bicycle and I need, I don't know, a radio. Well, I've got to find somebody who wants to buy or have a radio and has a bicycle. It's very difficult to barter. So if you have money as a means of exchange, you can do it in a third way. First I sell my bicycle, I get money, and then I go buy my radio, or vice versa. So it is a medium of exchange. The second function of money, it's a measure of value, because, and that is also for the present. Okay, the price of milk, $1. The price of a TV set, $100. The price of a car, $10,000. The price of a house, $100,000. Money will allow me to say, well, what is the relative value of everything? And again, it is a present time factor. What is the relative value now, in the here and now, today? Third function of money, it's a savings instrument. And that, I would say, has a past type time factor. Because I work today and save part of my money, and with that money I will do something in the future. And when that future comes, and I say, okay, with my savings I'm going to go on holidays, I'm going to go on a vacation, when I'm basking in the sun in some beach, I'm not working, what am I doing? I'm using the money that I made in the past to have a nice time today. And then money has a fourth, or should have a fourth factor, which is credit and loan. In other words, do what is necessary today and pay it with the work of tomorrow, with the effort of tomorrow. And that means that is the expansive part over the economy. There is one sin, perverse, that affects money, and that's interest. Because interest, and I stress the time factor, interest is a charge that the owner of money will charge for letting you have his money for some time. But time doesn't belong to anybody. Time belongs to God. Does anybody have a right to charge for time if time belongs to God? I don't think so. Another key factor, who owns public money? Who owns the dollars, the pesos, the pounds? Aside from the fact that who might have it in his pocket, public money belongs to the people. Okay, you might say poor people have a little bit of it, rich people have a lot of it, but the actual owner of public money is the state. And we're the state, you in America, me in Argentina.